Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
All right, so we got a very, very exciting episode of Strategy Sunday today, right? We got a lot of things to talk about. We got a lot of issues. We got a lot of stocks that's gonna, you know, could be possibly make us a little bit of money. But let's get into it, right? So the first thing I want to lead off with is Neo and Tesla, right? Two companies, two almost brothers, two almost like siblings in the worldwide race for dominance in this you know, electric car world, right? So these two people, we got Tesla on one and we got Neo on the other, right? You got two big events that are happening this year, right? We got one, two, we got a lot of things to go, right? So let's talk about Neo, right? On one side, we got Neo, on the other side, we got Tesla. Now, why are we talking about both of these this week? Why are we talking about two potentially very good trades this week? Let's talk about it a little bit, right? So Neo went up a lot last week. And you guys know, I've been telling people about Neo for months. Few people listen, right? And that's the crazy thing about when I tell you, know, and another thing, Bitcoin's gonna blow up too eventually. And a year from now, people are gonna be writing me like now with Neo. Oh man, how do I get into it now? But then you're almost too late at that time. It could still go up, but you've missed a lot of the big gains, right? And that's what happened with Neo right now. Now, you know, I told you guys about Neo back when it was real low. It was like $12, $13. And I said, look, man, Neo is a very, very good stock to buy right now. And people say, you know, I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, Neo's done. Tesla's gonna, and what happened now? The stock's at 28, almost 220% higher than when I first talked about it, right? And I'm telling you about other stocks, Snowflake, I'm telling you about other Bitcoin, and people still think I'm crazy right now. Like when I told people with Zoom, when Zoom was at 100, and I said, look, man, Zoom's going to 4, I said, Zoom's going up a lot. People said I was crazy, attacking me. I don't know what I'm talking about. Look at the stock now, right? So, but I digress. I just want, you know, I digress because I always try to tell people these things, people don't listen, right? And that's the crazy thing. I tell people, nobody listens. But let's talk about Neo, right? Because Neo, the analyst upgraded Neo to 40. So JP Morgan's analyst, other analysts of big banks said, look, Neo's going to 40. Now, and we talked about the way money works. It's happening with Bitcoin right now. We talked about market cycles. We talked about how the big players will get you away from stocks. And when it's time for them to get their money, they call the analyst and say, hey, man, upgrade the stock. This is a dirty game. But you have to understand how the game works to make money, right? You got to understand how this game works, right? It's the accumulation phase. When they keep the stocks steady, the elite, the whales, the people with a lot of money, the institutions, they keep that stock steady so they can buy up as much as possible. Once the stock gets to us, once they get enough of it, they call out the analysts. They say, hey, man, analyze this stock and say it's going to be higher, right? So they reset. They said Tesla's going to 40. Now, I promise you, Neo's going to 40. Now, I can't tell you when. It may be a few weeks, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. I don't know. But I promise you, Neo's going to 40. Once those analysts set those prices, it's almost guaranteed. The only thing that can stop it is a market crash. If a market crash happens, I can't control that. But Neo's going to 40, almost guaranteed. Right? So how can we play that? You know, you guys know I bought 40 contracts. At the $30 strike price expires next week or next Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday, right? I sold 20 at a ridiculous profit on Friday, right? I'm still holding 20, right? And I'm telling you right now, those 20 I'm holding are going to go up at least two times. And when I post it on Instagram, I'm saying I just sold them, that you're going to see it, right? So Neo's could go up next week. Neo can continue to go up. So how can we play that? Well, we can do options, right? We can buy the stock, which you'll get less profit, but there's also more security, there's less risk. Or, you know, we can buy that option, right? We can buy the option, Neo's gonna continue to go up, we can make some money that way, right? But there's something else. We can make some money on Tesla also. A lot of people, you know, and you guys, some of you guys have been around for a while. Some of you guys have been on these lives since I really started them back in March, right? Because I started my Instagram about 2 years ago. I really wasn't into it or whatever. And, you know, it picked up or whatever. Some of you guys, you know, jumped on early, right? I didn't do lives that much. I may have done one every once a month, right? So during the quarantine, I started doing it more and more and more. You guys liked it. You gave me the positive feedback. I love you guys for that. You gave me that feedback. You gave me that call and response. I would say something. You guys would say it back, and you kept the energy up. So I kept coming back, kept coming back. We built up energy. We built up a Chestnut Checkers community. We've done a lot of great things in the last 6 months. We've created a lot of wealth. We've created a lot of knowledge. We've created a lot of awareness of this market in that time, right? So Tesla, right? We're talking about Tesla, right? So if you guys follow me in March, I told people Tesla was going to go up. People said I was crazy. Tesla went up, right? And I mean, people know. I don't have to lie. Like, people were, you know, I got a lot of followers. I don't even know why. In the last, like month, right? I mean, I'm sorry, in the last couple of weeks. And I had people attacking me. They would only look at the last post and they would say, I'm lying about how much I made. I'm lying about stock calls. I didn't really make that much. But how can I lie if I'm posting when I buy? It's impossible. I'm going back in the past. How can I possibly lie if I also post when I buy? It's impossible. They can't. Obviously, I'm telling the truth, right? There's no way. When I buy stock, I don't do as much anymore because people just mess stuff up. Man, I mostly post my trades now in the Chestnut Checkers community. I post a lot of my trades there. So I only post in my actual IG if I really strongly feel a stock's going to go up. But how can I be lying? I post when I buy, and then I post when I sell. So unless I'm going back in time and changing my Instagram, ain't no way I could be lying, right? So, but let's go back over the trajectory or the time period of Tesla, right? Back when I was in March, I said Tesla was going up. It went way up, exactly like I said. Then I said, which nobody said, there's a correction coming. You can look back, scroll down my timeline, and you'll see a post a month or two ago. I said, there's going to be a correction down to 300. And everybody said I was crazy. You guys remember that too. Tesla's going way up. It's never going to stop. I said, no, there's going to be a correction. It's going to go all the way back down to 300. Then it may. I said, after that, I don't know what's going to happen. I said, I don't know if it's going to continue or go back up. I can't tell you. But I said, there's going to be a correction, right? It didn't go to 300. Like I said, it didn't go to 300, but it did go to 308. It went $8 from what I said. Remember, when I said that, Tesla was like at 475, 450. You know, and I said, it's going back down to 300. It got to 308. Now, I wasn't technically right, but I was close. Tesla went back up. So I've correctly called Tesla up to now. And I'm telling you right now, Tesla has an earnings call on Wednesday. The stock's going to go up Monday, Tuesday. I don't know about Wednesday, but the stock's going up Monday and Tuesday, I promise. So if we know a stock's going to go up for 2 days, what do? We got options, right? We can put options in there. We can do some calls. We can make some money Monday and Tuesday. Now, Wednesday, it gets kind of fishy, man, because that's the day of the earnings. But we understand how earnings work, don't we? We understand that how stocks work. We understand people that have learned, people that have been following for a while, people that are in the mentorship program, people that are in the Chestnut Checkers community. Stephanie knows, she knows that what happens on, it's every time, it's nothing new. What's gonna happen on Wednesday? No matter what the earnings are, unless they're way hard in projections, the stock's gonna fall. And we know this. We know this is gonna happen. It happens every single time. It happened with Apple last week. We know that it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern every time. It's the same pattern as Apple last week. It's the same pattern. Monday, Tuesday go up on the day of the announcement. It's going to be stable, steady, or maybe not move. Then it's going to fall after the announcement. We know this is going to happen. So what? We can make some money on the way. Easy money. It's easy money, man. Now, Monday morning, now we don't know for fact. We got to use momentum. We got to see what's happening on Monday morning. Now, we can't just jump onto these stocks because maybe, you know, whatever. We can't do that. We can't just jump on the stocks because Armando said it. You know, who am I? You got to go do your own research, right? You can't, you know, some crazy dude on Instagram is talking. You don't trade stocks on that, right? You learn. Now, I could point you in the right direction. You can look at what I say and say, hey, man, maybe what he's saying makes sense. I'm going to apply my knowledge And I'm gonna, if he what he says makes sense, I'm gonna make that trade. And we could both make money together. But on your side, you gotta know what you gotta know what you're doing. You gotta do your own research. You gotta make sure that I'm not making a mistake, because I'm right 8 out of 10 times. And on the 9th and 10th time, I'm wrong. Right? I'm wrong, you know. So what are you gonna do if I'm wrong? If you don't know what you're doing, you lose all your money. What if somebody else is wrong? What if you're wrong? You got to be able to control that loss, right? So we know what can happen on Wednesday. You know, and that's not guaranteed, but it's a high probability, right? We know that after the announcement, after the earnings, we know that there's high volatility. One way or another, it don't matter. So we could do a straddle on Wednesday. What a straddle is, for you guys to understand, is when you put in a call on the same stock. Right now, some people that are beginners are saying, man, that's kind of crazy. Why would you do both? Don't they cancel each other out? No, because options don't work that way. We know that options have a high potential to go up a lot if the stock moves a lot in either directions, right? So we put a put and a call right on the what we think the price is going to go. And then if the stock moves hard in either direction, we can lose money on the put if it goes up, because we made all our money back on the call. Now, if the stock drops, we made all our money on the put, we can lose everything on the call. Because we made 3 times our money on the put, we can lose it. Let's say we put $1,000 on the put, we put $1,000 on the call. Right? In the price, right? The price is in the middle. Price moves hard either direction, we're going to make 3 times our money, right? It's $1,000. The stock falls, our put goes up 3 times. Our call goes to zero, right? So how much total input is that? That's $2,000, right? We're up $3,000, right? I mean, $3,000. So we can lose that whole one. We minus that. Our profit is $2,000. We're still up 100%, even though we lost all the money on one of the options. That's called a straddle. We do that when we expect high volatility. What volatility is that the stock going to move hard in either direction, right? When we expect a stock to move hard in either direction, like Tesla probably will do on the earnings call, it's going to go one way or another. I say 60% is going to go down, but it could go up. Now, Tesla's a perfect example. I know that straddle didn't work on it. Straddles ain't going to work all the time, but it's a good, when you really expect a lot of volatility, which I kind of expect out of Tesla, it's either going to fall hard, because Tesla's a volatile stock anyway, because it's driven a lot by millennials, by people just getting in, by a lot of what I call the crazy, the wild money people. The people who are the emotional, whatever, driven, they buy on hype. Those people are a lot of Tesla's base. And when that happens, stocks move out, you know, are very, very volatile. It's almost like an emotional stock, right? So I want to talk about something else tonight, you know, strategy-wise, long-term strategy. It's today. Is October, right? So it's almost, it's about the middle of October. So a lot of you guys are new to trading. A lot of you guys have started this year. A lot of you guys started my mentorship program this year. You started Chestnut Checkers community this year, or you just start following me this year. You just start trading stock. Well, we're almost at the end of the year, and there's a big thing hanging over us that a lot of people don't understand yet. A lot of you guys don't know yet. A lot of you guys haven't had any experience with it. Well, it's a three-letter word. No, it's actually a five-letter word. Taxes. We're all going to have to pay our taxes April 14th. Well, April 14th is a long time away. You know, we got 6 months. You know, it's not that long. You know, come on, man. We got 6 months of that. But something else you don't understand is that you got to make all of your things by December 31st. Because once that year closes out, you can't go back in time and fix nothing. Right? So you got to harvest your losses by the end of the year. And what does that mean? Harvest our losses? What are you talking about? Well, harvesting your losses is a strategy that we do at the end of the year to lower our tax burden. I've done it a couple of years. So when you have several stocks out, you have a losing position on some stocks, but not on others. You can sell that stock, lock in those losses before December 31st, and then wait about 15 days and buy it back in the middle of January. What that does is that at the end of the year, you got a loss you can write off. Let's say, for example, I got $10,000 in stocks, right? The first seven are doing good. You know, I got $7,000 in some stocks going up. The last $3,000 are going bad, right? So I can sell those stocks as a loss, so it shows up on the taxes. The next 14, 15 days later, I think it's 15 days you have to, I buy it back, and now I've locked in my losses. Now, you can claim a $3,000 loss in your taxes. People don't know that either. If I lose $3,000 in the market, I don't actually technically have to lose it. I just have to have realized losses. And depends on people don't understand, there's a difference between realized and unrealized gains. What does that mean? That means that that means paper and non-paper profits. That's it. So if I got a stock, it's up 100 times. Let's say it's up 50 times. And I got $100,000 in the bank, in the account. It's not real money. It's on paper. So the government don't care what happens as long as it's in the stock. When you sell it, that's called a taxable event. So that means that's when you owe the government, when you sell it. So I could have one stock I paid $2,000 for. It goes up 50 times, I got $100,000. I could have a second stock that I put $10,000 in. It's down to almost nothing, right? Or let's say it lost $3,000, so it lost 30%. I can sell the one with the loss. And now the government sees it as, I just lost $3,000 that year, right? Even though my first stock is up to $100,000, I haven't sold it yet, so it don't matter. The second stock, I lost $3,000. I sell that one, lock in my losses, and write it off on my next year's taxes. So now, when I do take this big gain eventually, it doesn't hit me as bad, right? Because for that first year, I took some money. But when you can write off $3,000. So if you made, let's say, $30,000 that year, you take out that $3,000, now the government sees it as you only made $27,000. So you basically saved about $1,000, maybe about $800 in taxes, right? So it's a good strategy, right? And it's called harvesting your losses. You know, don't take my word for it. I'm not a tax expert. I've done this before, but you need to do some research. Go to Google, put in harvesting your losses in stocks, and there's plenty of articles out there. You know, what I'm doing here, what I try to do in my Instagram, what I try to do in my community, what I try to do in the mentorship program is make people aware of things, right? Because we talk about the spheres of knowledge, right? What are the spheres of knowledge, right? So in the world, there's two spheres of things in the world, knowledge in the whole universe, really, right? This first sphere are things that I personally know. Second sphere is things that I don't know. Now, a lot of people get confused about that, right? They don't realize what's going on. Well, everything you know and don't know is in the first sphere. And people don't understand that, right? Because things I know is in that sphere. Like, I know about programming. I know about technology. I know about stocks. It's all in that first sphere. I know that I don't know about, let's say, brain surgery. I know that I don't know how to build a house. I know that I don't know how to be a nurse. Those things are still things that I know. So it still goes in the first sphere. The scariest thing is the second sphere. These are things I don't even know that I don't know. That's what's in that second sphere. Now, how am I going to ever be made aware of these things? Right? Because, you know, if I don't know they exist, I'm not even going to search for it. I'm not going to look anything up. I don't even know these things exist. So somebody has to make you aware of something so that you can go out and find it, right? And that's what I try to do, is make you guys aware, right? You guys, I want you guys to be aware. I make you aware of things. I show things in a simple way. And you guys go out and find that knowledge. You guys go out and find that information. You guys go out and make that part of your first sphere. Right? You put more information in that first sphere. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying to do here. So, before I got, I want to talk a little bit about value, right? Let's break down this question about the election, right? We're going to talk a little bit about the election. What's going to happen? What probably could happen? Certain stocks that it can benefit, certain stocks it can't, right? So, when this election coming up, the thing about this election is that it's becoming more and more, common knowledge that Biden is going to win. And so the market is kind of preparing for it. So as long as Biden wins, the market may not, it's going to go down because people are going to sell their stocks because of the capital gains. He's not raising the capital gains, they're going to sell. But if he wins, it's not, may not be as dramatic as I thought before, because people are starting to think he's going to win. Now, the crazy thing that's going to happen, if Trump wins, the market's going to react crazy, because everybody's starting preparing. They're buying weed stocks. They're buying Tesla. Tesla tanked too. Tesla's going up. All this stuff's going up. So if Trump does pull it off and wins, the market's going to crash bad the next day. But it will eventually come back up, because people will just be moving their positions to other stocks. But if Biden wins, either way, I think it's going to crash. Either way, it's just, now we're just talking about the severity of it. If Biden wins, it's going to go down. If Trump wins, it's probably going to go down too. So, I mean, either way, the next day is probably a good opportunity for puts. Maybe the next 2 days, but most certainly the first day, right? And I may be wrong on that, but I kind of think it will. So before I end, I want to talk a little bit about something else. I want to talk about value, right? And we talk about stocks. We also talk about business and just general finance, you know, in this class. I'm sorry, it's not a class, but it's live, right? So I want to talk a little bit about value. You know, we search for value all the time. And the reason why we buy stocks, because we expect it to go up, right? We expect, when we buy a stock for, let's say, $10, we want it to go to $20. Otherwise, why are we going to buy a stock that's going to stay the same or go down if we knew that, right? So when we buy stocks, we expect it to go up. We expect to get value back. We expect to get a return, right? So it's the same thing in business. So the same thing in life. When we go into Walmart, we buy a product, we expect to get more back in return than the money we paid. Now, if we go to somebody and we buy a service, we expect that service to be more and a value to us than what we paid in money. And a lot of people don't understand this, right? And I'm gonna tell you a story about what happened to me earlier this week. And I hope they're not listening, because I'm not gonna say any names, but I hope he's listening, because maybe it'd be a lesson. And it's something that I learned over time, right? I learned this over time, and it was a hard lesson. You know, I've been in this for a long time, and some of the lessons I learned when I was young, some of the things I thought when I was young, I no longer think. I guess you get wiser with age and stuff like that. But when I was young, you know, I'll tell you a story, right? So I had a web development company years ago, and I started out, it was just me. That's it. I didn't have any employees. Eventually, I ended up with employees. I ended up having an office or whatever. But I had a real small office. It was 80 square foot. It was an office near the railroad. So every once in a while, in the back of the office, I hear this train go by every two times a day. So and the whole building would shake, you know. But it was cool. It was a cool little start. Actually, that company ended up going, doing well, then ended up going down. I ended up in a bunch of debt years ago. I bought off the debt or whatever. You guys know the story. They've been following me for a while. But I remember sitting in that. I did web design and software development, right? I was just the only one. I was the only person in that company. So somebody called me one time, and they said, Armand, they called me and said, hey, man, I want to build a website. And I said, all right, man. So our prices are $1,000. It was $1,000 low back then. $1,000 to do a website. He said, all right, man. I mean, I'll pay it. But he said, tell me how this website is going to benefit me. Like, is it going to give me business? Is it going to, like, make my business, you know, better? Or what's going to happen? I said, I don't know, man. I just build websites. So the dude hung the phone up, right? And then when he hung the phone up, he's, all right, man, I'll think about it. You know, I kind of knew he wasn't going to buy my product. He hung the phone up. I get mad, man. I'm like, what does he expect me to do? God, I build websites, man. That's all I do, man. He asked me all this stuff about what my website gonna do for him. Hey, I just give the website. I don't care what happens after that. And that's when I was young. I was like 26. And later on in life, I realized I was extremely wrong in that. Extremely wrong, right? Because when somebody buys something from you, they expect value. You're not giving a something. I'm not giving a dude a website. I'm giving him a way to transform his business. I'm giving him a way to get more business. I'm giving him a way to increase his net worth, increase his money. I didn't understand that back then, and a lot of people don't understand that now. Right now, the reason why I'm telling you this story is because there's a guy, you know, that's somebody I work with advertising, my profile, and You know, I work for advertising because, you know, I'm starting to sell shirts, you know, because it's fun. You know, I'm creating, it's a passive income stream now, but I do got to pay for ads every once in a while. People help me out with the ads and stuff like that on Facebook, on Instagram. Instagram, you know, I use influencer marketing and stuff like that. So I wrote this guy and said, hey, man, can you do a shout out for these shirts? You know, and the guy said, he wrote back. He was like, no, I'm sorry. And he did it, right? And I gave him some money. And he did the shout out, right? So I'm a very analytical person. I'm a very scientific person. I write down everything. So when I give you the dude some money, I'm going to know exactly how much profit I got back on that. You know, even if it's $100, even if it's $50, I keep it all down. Everything, right? So I can know if this particular strategy is working, continue with that strategy. If this one's not working, pull back, don't do that anymore. Over time, you could build a lot of money like that. With small amounts of money, you build it out, right? So, and then pretty soon, I build a passive income stream, right? Because, you know, so that's what I'm doing right now. It takes a little work. I got another one. I have my ninth stream by then, right? So it takes a little work, takes a little, you know, but after it's done, you ain't got to do it no more. You don't have to work on it no more. You know, except reaching out to people and doing advertising. But, So I reached out to him. He did the shirt, right? He did the post, whatever. So I ended up paying him an amount of money. I made way less back. So the dude contacts me and says, Armando, I mean, you gonna do another shout out? And I said, man, you know, your price is, you know, I don't know what it was. Let's say it was $200. I said, man, I can't pay that price anymore. I said, I don't get enough value. I said, when I pay that, man, I didn't get the money back for that. So the dude screamed at me. Oh, you know, in all caps on, you know, over Messenger. Man, I can't help you if your product garbage. I can't help that, man. All I do is shout outs. And it reminded me of me, you know, of 15 years ago when I did, I'm sorry, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I did the same thing. It reminded me of that situation. It reminded me of when I didn't understand that you don't, that's not how it works in life. That's not how it works, right? It was the same story that I went through. And I wanted to, you know, break it down to do and tell him, but I think it would have fell on deaf ears. But it was the same story that I did, right? And I learned over time that you gotta show value. You have a communication with a customer. If your customer thinks your price is too high, there's two things that could have went wrong. One is that your price really is too high. You really are charging too much. Two, you haven't presented your value enough. So if a customer doesn't see your value, it's not there. Because your value in economics, not in socially, your value is your own. You create your own value. But economics and finance in business, your value is what somebody else will pay for it. That's it. You don't come up with your own value. You don't come up with your own prices. Your price is what people are willing to pay for your service, right? My value as a person is my own. I create that value. My value as a father, my value as a friend is my own. I create that. But in business, it's the price other people will pay, and that's it. So if your prices are low, if people think your prices are too high, it's because you haven't shown the customer the value. You haven't presented the value correctly. The conversation with the customer has been wrong at some point, or you're truly not providing the value. That's the only things it can be. Right. So I wanted to stop and tell him, but, you know, I was like, you know, he's not going to listen anyway. You know, he's going to think I'm trying to like finesse him or something. So I didn't really, you know, I didn't tell him anything. I just said, you know, all right, man, I kind of just took the blame myself. I said, yeah, man, you know, I just can't do it right now. You know, it's just not, you know, feasible right now. It's not efficient enough. And I got other avenues where I can, you know, I can spend the same money and I could get more back. So, you know, up to, you know, I'm the customer, and, you know, I could see it. So the prices are just too high, right? And it don't matter what you think it is, because that's not what it is. You know what I mean? To me personally, maybe somebody else could post, you know, and make some money, but it's not me, right? So that's all I wanted to talk about today. That's what I wanted to speak about. So just to sum up, we talked about Neo. We talked about how Neo could be a potential option play over the next 2 weeks, because analysts have Neo pegged at $40, right? And several analysts from several big banks, several organizations have said that Neo is going to 40. Now, when this happens, nine times out of 10, it's going to 40. So it's at 28 now, so it's almost, it's easy money. It's free money, really, if you're willing to take the risk. Second thing we talked about is Tesla. Tesla has earnings on Wednesday. That means that there's probably going to be upward movement in the stock on Monday and Tuesday. It'll probably fall like stagnant on Wednesday, waiting for that. I don't know if it's before or after they're going to do the earnings call. If it's before the market, it'll be different. If it's after, it'll be different. So I don't really know if it's before or after the bell. So some companies choose to do it before the market opens. Other companies choose to do it after. Now, I don't know when Tesla, if anybody knows, tell me right now, but I don't know when Tesla's going to do it. It could be any time. But it would depend. That'll depend on how the market, you know, reacts, right? If it's after hours, I appreciate that, Evan. If it's after hours, that means that the market probably is going to be stagnant, and it may start dropping at the end of the day. It may not, because some of the option people, some of the stock you may start getting out early because they know it's going to fall after the announcement, right? So sometimes you'll see this pattern where it'll be kind of stagnant, and then it'll start falling like around 1 or 2 o'clock. The third thing we talked about is the straddle we could possibly do on that day and make some money either way. We talked about harvesting your loss at the end of the year. And finally, we ended just talking about overall value when it comes to business, when it comes to stocks. Last thing I want to talk about is Kodak. Man, it's been some crazy stuff in the market over the past years. And he's that Kodak was a straight pumping up, you're right. But guess, but you know what the worst thing was last week? Is the Hertz CEO just finessed everybody out of their money, right? That dude, he said it again, man. Oh, we coming out of bankruptcy. So everybody bought the stock and the stock fell again. I mean, there's some criminal stuff, man, that goes on in this market. And that's what I try to tell you guys. I try to beat it into your hearts and your minds that we don't have no control in this. This is not our market. This is if you guys ever saw The Big Short, and that's one of my favorite scenes, is it was a couple of young guys that were, they created a mutual fund. They did they turned like $1 million into like $30 million, right? And they were going to get an IFTA, which allows them to buy, you know, to participate in higher risk investments, right? An IFTA, it's called. So they wanted to get, they had to get that. It's like a license. They had to get that. And that gives them the right to put their money into bigger, more powerful investments. So they went to the bank, and they were trying to get that IFTA. And they had $30 million, right? And the dude was like, I think it was $50 million, so the $50 million. So the dude, they went to the dude, and the dude was like talking down to him, laughing and whatever. And they were like, yeah, we got $50 million, man. We could put into the thing. He was like, he said, $50 million? Come on, guys. When you guys get a little bit bigger, you know, maybe 10 years down the line, we'll give you that IFTA. He's like, how much time we need to be in the IFTA? They said, well, you need like $500 million before we even talk to you. So that always tells you the kind of money that moves this market. It's the kind of money that you need. Million, 2 million ain't nothing. 5 million ain't nothing. 10 million ain't nothing, right? You need half a billion, billions of dollars to be a major player in this market. Everybody under that is just fish. We're just guppies. We ride the waves or whatever's happening. We're not have no control. We're not, you know, you could be the best stock advisor. You could be the best person on Instagram. You have no control of the market. You ride the waves like everybody else. Like the other 99% of us, right? So you got to be careful about these people like Hertz or whatever. They'll manipulate the market. They'll make money. They'll take it away. And they'll, you know, they just took it from the shareholders. A lot of people get tricked on these types of things. That's why I don't like stocks that are cheap, because they're easily manipulated, right? And then sometimes it's, you'll see a cheap stock and you feel like, it's, you know, you got a little bit of money. You can get 50 shares, right? You got $100. You get a $5 stock, you get 50 shares. But cheap stocks like that are manipulated almost a lot. Because it don't take that much to move them, right? You know, don't take that much to move a stock like that. So hope you guys have a great night. If you have any questions about anything I talked about, NIO, Tesla. Now, I can't tell you when to buy. I can't tell you when to sell. I can't give you direct advice on a stock. But if you have any questions, anything, I'll make sure I'll, you know, let you know. Have any questions about the classes, any questions about anything else, message me. I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining. And sleep well.